family. Let's give it up for Jesus, okay? We're in his house. Let's hear it for him. So glad that you are with us today in God's house. And I want to remind you, he is so good, and he is working even now. No matter what you see with your eyes, he knows where you are. He knows what you need, and he is working on your behalf even now. He's so faithful. He still changes lives. He still works miracles. And we have an awesome story for you to hear this morning. You know, we had a great week with our Love OKC Student Conference, and I want to thank you. I asked you last weekend to pray for that conference. Thank you for your prayers. God moved among our students, and every night our speakers delivered powerful words. Our first night, Matthew Nelson from City Church did an incredible job, awesome job. Wednesday night, we had our own Pastor Hedy Coleman, and he did fabulous. And then Tuesday night, we had Yolanda Thomas with us. And we wanted you all to have a chance to be encouraged, to hear her story. And so we invited her to be with us this morning. And I want to challenge you, after you hear this message, to pray with me. To pray that God is going to open your eyes to the Yolanda he has sent into your life. Okay? Pray with me about that. Now, let's give it up for a North Church welcome to Yolanda Thomas as she comes. I'm excited to have her here today. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We want you to hear what God has done in her life and what he's doing. And I just really want you to start at the beginning with where you started and how you were raised.
Yeah, but before I do that, I want to say thank you for having me here. I want to honor your great leaders in this house, Pastor Rodney and Ms. Shannon. I don't take it lightly being in here, and I don't take it lightly getting the opportunity to speak to you. So before we do anything, can we just give God thanks for the leaders, the shepherd that he has praised over this house. So I was born in Sweden, raised mostly in Sweden. Sweden is in Northern Europe. And I think we have some pictures that we can show, give you kind of an idea of where I'm from. So this is myself and my mother and my first love, the soccer ball. It has been a part of my life ever since, and even when I tried to quit, it didn't quite work out. So myself and my sisters, I'm the baby. I do have another sister who's not in the picture, but that's Swedish midsummer right there. This is my father and I, and my father is Kenyan, so I spent quite a bit of time in Kenya and a few other African countries as well as a kid. And this is me getting to represent Sweden internationally, playing soccer. Great honor, something I'm very proud of, and great opportunity to really travel the world kicking a soccer ball around. This is me on my wedding day right here in Oklahoma, and my parents in traditional Kenyan and Swedish attire. And then my current family coming up. This is my husband, Philip, and Sasha, and Solomon. So you'll see the next picture. They keep me busy. They're a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Great family. We got to know Coach Yo about 6 years ago. I got to spend some quality time with little Sasha when she was a baby. But we met her through Annabeth. When Annabeth went to high school and started playing high school soccer, Yo was her coach at that time. And it's we've just been joking about that Yo has coached her in high school. She's had the privilege of having Yo coach her in college. They have been teammates on an Oklahoma City women's team, and then most recently, opponents. That wasn't the funnest part, but we have had this time together over the past few years, and I've got to watch her leadership, and I want you to know that one of the things I admire most about her is her strength, her personal strength, and the light of the Lord that she shares on the field. Wherever she is, I've seen the strength of God shine through her. And one of my favorite memories is one of our very first parent meetings ever, whenever she just told us how it was going to be. You know, and as the mamas and the daddies and the coaches, it really didn't matter what you thought. This is how it was going to be, and we were going to play to win. And I actually love that. So I was like, yeah, let's go.
I'm not sure anyone else did, but that's okay.
I love seeing my daughter seeing a strong, godly woman.
Amen.
That has the strength and the confidence of the Lord. And I think we all need that, the confidence that comes in knowing who God made us to be and who he's called us to be. Amen. So I want you to share some more about how you grew up.
Yeah, so obviously Sweden. My memories of my childhood are really good ones. If you've travel to Europe, Western and Northern particularly, is a bit different from here. My childhood was fun. It was safe. The way of life, you know, we don't have to drive anywhere. We can just walk down the street, and even five-year-olds can play outside unsupervised. And so I have a lot of great memories. I think I played just about any sport involving a ball. And then in the winter, of course, we play winter sports. So I skate, I ski, all of that good stuff. But you know, that those are the main things that kind of stand out to me. My parents divorced shortly after I was born, but had a good upbringing, raised mostly with my mother and my sisters. But I really had a good time. And often when I'm asked to speak, it tends to be assumed that I'm going to tell a story of sadness to gladness. And the truth is, I wasn't sad. I was just fine where I was. And yes, Jesus brought gladness, but it wasn't a story of coming from just this bad background to, woohoo, I met Jesus. You know, it just wasn't the case. I was just fine where I was.
So tell us how change happened in your life. Yeah, when did everything start to change?
Uh-huh. So I had really two kind of events that happened. When my senior year in high school, my sister passed away, and there was a sister that was just ahead of me, and we were best friends, really, since the day I was born. And she passed away in a car crash, and you know, at that point in my life, senior in high school, I begin to kind of ask those hard questions in life that I'm sure we all encounter at various stages in our lives. And I thought about them before as a young teenager, you know, what happens after death, what's the meaning of life, all of that good stuff. But I had not felt the need to know an answer until my sister passed away. And so now I begin to ask those questions, you know, where is she? What does really happen after death? And I needed to know. So that was planted in me. I was also faced with, obviously, dealing with grief. A depression came over me, and it wasn't something that you would see from the outside. I still played national team. I graduated high school with almost a 4.0, and you wouldn't have known it, but I was really crumbling on the inside. But fast forward about 2 years later, I end up at Oklahoma State University, which, by the way, was a total God thing because yes, I hear some folks in the audience. Good stuff. No, but sincerely, I didn't know where Oklahoma was. It was like somewhere north of Texas area, you know? That's kind of what I thought. So I was not, had no intention of coming here. It's too long a story for today, but really, it's amazing how God will watch over you when you have no clue he is. And so I ended up there, and spring break of my freshman year, I ended up talking to this coach who had sort of been working with our team, and frankly, I didn't really care for the guy. It's like annoying, not very friendly. That's what I thought, you know. I didn't really like him. But we ended up chit-chatting, and he's just really making small talk, conversing there. And he asked where I was from and, you know, what people believed where I was from. And I said, yeah, I explained to him, similar to what I did to you. And I just said, you know what, I don't believe in God. I never have, I never will. And that guy, man, that day made a commitment to talk to me about Jesus just about every time I saw him. And when I tell you I treated him the way you guys treat those Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on your door, I just did not want to talk to him. So, you know, I met him, and that's kind of where the journey began. So,
well, I love hearing how Joel made such an impact on you. And I want you to share with us, because as I mentioned earlier, we need to be praying that God has those people in our lives, that they don't have our Christian worldview, that they don't see Jesus the way we see him. So how can we best shine the light? How can we best reach out to them? Yeah. And how did your conversion shape your faith today?
Yeah, so let me just give you a little bit of a better idea. So just an example of, like, when I grew up and I'm in school, one of the things we learned about was, you know, how did the world come to be, right? Well, they taught us evolution as a truth. Not just an option, but a truth. And I think I learned about creation at some point in a religion course, but it was kind of a laughable matter that an adult who was intelligent would actually believe that some kind of God created the world. You know, so that is just to help you see the mindset from which I came. And that was just about everybody I knew, how they thought. And so there were a lot of things that had to kind of be torn down in order for me to even consider thinking about believing in anybody called Jesus. And when I first encountered him, like I said, had I been through struggles? Absolutely. Was I searching for a greater purpose? No. I was good. Like, I had literally just made it through the toughest time of my life, and I was okay. So I was not looking, not at all. And when he began to talk to me, to this day, I really do not remember many details of what he shared. What I do remember is the passion with which he shared it. I remember, and to this day, can see a man who was changed by an encounter with a God he called Jesus. It wasn't specifically what he said, it was how he carried himself. And for me, I needed someone to live out the power of God in front of me, as opposed to just speaking of it. I encountered Christians. My mother actually worked with a lot of immigrants and people from all over the world. And so I encountered different faiths and people of different ways of thinking. But most of the Christians that I knew, they had a habit of going to church, but there was nothing different about their lives than mine. There was nothing in that life, in their lives, that made me go, oh, I want what she's got. I need to get what he's got. Not at all. And so I met this man, and he was not a perfect man, but he was a man changed by an encounter with a loving God. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says, we are a letter from Christ, written not with ink on tablets, but on human hearts. For some people, you are the only Bible that they'll ever read. Until I was 20-something, I hadn't picked up a Bible. And frankly, somebody gave me a King James Bible, and yeah, I don't recommend it. I was like, that was like reading Chinese. I actually went and watched VeggieTales. That's how I began to learn about Jesus as an adult. But I needed someone to live it out before me, because reading about it didn't do it for me. And especially with all the things that I had already learned, and I was kind of set in my way of thinking and pretty strong-willed at that. This coach also, we were able to connect and, you know, get to know each other and appreciate each other. But he knew I was an athlete. He knew I was competitive. And I think, you know, he kind of used that in hindsight. I didn't think about it then. But he challenged me, you know, before you dismiss it, get to know him. What do you think about this? Or let me tell you about that. And so the Jesus he presented was different than what I had heard about. But really, when I went and read what he asked me to read, or when I just kind of researched on my own, I did it with the intent to prove him wrong, because I wanted to win. So I didn't go read really looking for Jesus. It was more like, okay, I got you. We're on, you know. I got you. Yeah, we'll do this. So I did that. But for him, another thing that really stuck with me, I noticed early that this is a guy that works. He was working like 12-hour days. If you know anything about strength and conditioning, that is grinding work. At the time, you know, he was lowest on the totem pole, probably not making a good money. He was also pastoring a church hours away. He was driving. So I didn't know him that well, but I recognized that this is a busy individual, an individual with responsibilities. And it's so easy for us to get caught up with the responsibilities that we have. I coach college soccer. I have two kids. I have a husband. But it is not more important than sharing the love of Christ. And yes, there are seasons of our lives. Mothers with young children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard to find time to, you know, even when you go to the bathroom, they find their way in there. Yeah. It's hard to find time for yourself to even connect with God. But you know, he'll honor the time that you give him. And if you just make yourself available, it's important that we keep that a priority. But that was something that I learned from just watching this coach talk to me and interact with me, because I recognized that he was busy. And what I figured from him is that, you know, when your focus shifts from just believing in Jesus to winning souls for Christ, our own physical needs and issues become a little bit less important. Matthew chapter 6 tells us, don't worry what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. Further on down in the chapter, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned about what we'll eat or what we'll wear. It means that we know that our Father is concerned about that. So instead of worrying about how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to provide for my family, what I am concerned about is how am I going to carry the gospel to those who don't know him? Because I know that my Father is going to provide for me. And I know that my source is not my job, even though that's where my salary comes from. My source is my God. Yes. So if I just focus on the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness first, all these other things that he knows and wants us to have, they'll be added unto us. Yes. So that's an important thing to kind of keep before you. You know, I have a prayer that I heard someone say, and it's something I wake up and kind of ask the Lord each morning. Lord, would you lead me to the one that's closest to eternity? And just saying that, it just shifts my focus. man, I know I got to get kids to school. They're in two different places. I got to get to work on time. We got practice. We got all this stuff. But if I just pause, would you lead me to the one closest to eternity? And then when I'm there, give me what to say, how to respond. It's a simple, simple prayer that will shift the focus of your day. And it's not just, you know, with the elderly. I just mentioned my sister died in a car accident. She was about 23. Here recently, I'm sure you've seen all the suicides that are taking place. We saw some celebrities, you know? Who knew? The Holy Spirit knew. But he wants to use us to communicate with those very people. And another thing to keep in mind, and that's important, and I think that as I've come to call this great state of Oklahoma home, that I've recognized that, you know, even though we may have friends and or people that we know or encounter that don't know Jesus, most of the people we encounter have probably been to a church at some point in their lives. Sometimes, and this is very true for me, our resistance to get to know Jesus or to get saved is not so much that we don't think Jesus has something good for us, but that we recognize what we're leaving behind. And for me, it was a matter of, you know, if I make this change, if I do this, then what about my family? What about my country? I think in Sweden, unless it's the statistics I read, it was like 1% to 2% born again. So my whole being, everyone I know, everything I know, I'm just going to leave that behind. And I wasn't ready yet. And those seeds of unbelief had been planted for a long time. It took a little bit of undoing all of that before I really was ready to hear. So the other thing too is, you know, some people encounter persecution. I was fortunate to not to have that, but I mean, met so many people from different parts of the world where if they turn to Jesus, they're really turning their back on their families. And that's something we have to be patient with and just walk beside people as they do that. But so I mentioned that I met this coach in March, and I didn't actually get saved until September. So during this time, he would kind of chat with me, give me some scriptures here and there, and I'd go read and come back with questions, and we would converse back and forth about things. I started attending some services, which I thought were kind of fun, because church in America is pretty fun. People have fun. I thought that was great. I wasn't used to it. So that was good, but I still was kind of resisting, and it wasn't until September came around. September happened to be the month that my sister passed away in, also the month in which her birthday would have been or continue to be, and I'm a freshman in high school, dealing with everything that you're dealing with, being thousands of miles away from home and kind of not having close friends yet in the community and my family there, and this depression that I had dealt with kind of kept creeping. I was also a student athlete, you know, had pressure from academics and athletics and just trying to manage life. And it just got too much. And I dropped to my knees in my apartment and just said, I give up. Literally, I give up. I give up trying to prove you wrong. I give up. And when I did, this peace just came over me that I had never experienced before. It just rested on top of me. And it was as though I was made new. The trees looked different. The apartment looked different. My outlook on life was different. You know, the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. It talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. On our feet, it said, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. So as shoes, wear peace. So that wherever you stand, you're in peace. When I was on that floor and that peace came over me, my sister was still gone. Grief was still present, but I had a peace about me. A peace that can't really be explained in natural terms. I had a peace about me about the courses that I was about to take, the A's that I was pursuing. I had a peace about me that this stress of being away, of not having money, any college students know exactly what I'm talking about. I had a peace about me because I was standing in peace. The other thing that happened in that moment, and I get excited, I need to stand up. So, other thing that happened that moment is I'd been reading, right? For 6 months I'd been reading. And I started kind of learning things, and you know, I went to church and I heard these things. And I'd been storing knowledge because I really wanted to prove him wrong, remember? So I'd been storing this knowledge. And when I dropped to my knees in my apartment and I said yes to Jesus, all this knowledge that I had gained in my head dropped down into my heart. And I had a revelation based on the information that I had learned of who I was in Christ. And I said, Man, that scripture didn't say that I was more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I am. And my walk changed. My walk changed. My talk changed. I'm more than a conqueror. I discovered that, you know what? It doesn't matter what I face. My Lord will never leave me or forsake me. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. So it doesn't matter what's going on here. I got some power on the inside of me to face it. I realize that I'm blessed. You know what? I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. And everything that I put my hands to, it's going to prosper. So I begin to expect these things. And it just started rising up in me. My pastor in my home church in Tulsa always says, 1,000 scriptures in your head will make you a theologian, but one verse in your heart will make you a victor. And that day, I got up on my feet and I was a victor. And I haven't been the same since. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Chapter 16. So this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, and Jesus has died on the cross, rose 3 days later, and he revealed himself to the disciples and others. And this is before he goes into heaven to be with the Father again. And so he said to them, the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Do you know that go is a command to action? You can't follow Jesus and stay where you are. It's impossible. He's moving. Going requires movement in the direction that you are sent. Going to the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And that preach, it just means proclaim. You can preach and not be a preacher. As a matter of fact, if we relied on preachers to get the world saved, nobody, we're just not making any waves. There's just not enough. I actually, before I came to Christ, I was in the back of the chapel watching, listening to this coach preach a message. I don't know what the message was about. I was in the very back, and I had a vision of myself. And at this point, I thought visions were for people that, you know, had something going on. So I was like, what is going on? I'm kind of looking around like, does anybody else see this? But I saw myself preaching in the pulpit, and I wasn't saved yet. I didn't say anything to anyone because I thought I was just losing my mind or something. But in my heart, I knew it was real. I didn't get saved yet. I didn't know if it was biblical. Matter of fact, it was way later when I read about the Apostle Paul's conversion. I said, okay, yeah, you can have a vision of Jesus or a vision from Jesus before you get saved. So I recognized that that was God speaking to me in that moment. But I knew that I was called to pulpit ministry. But since then, I've reached far more people coaching and playing soccer than I have from the pulpit. He will use you where he's planted you. Amen. And he planted me in the world of soccer for this season in my life. And he will use you where you are. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Do you know that there is eternal consequence to whether or not you respond to the command to go? People's salvation, there are people waiting to meet Jesus through you. How long will you make them wait? Verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Let's just stop on the, and these signs. So I mentioned, you know, I had a vision. Sometimes in a lot of churches across America today, America that is so born again, it is kind of taboo to talk about the spiritual side of a spiritual God. It's a sad state. Visions are real. Dreams are real. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And that inside, that voice on the inside, he'll speak to you. Signs and wonders, that's the God that we serve. He will. Signs will accompany those to believe. So a sign is just a confirmation of those. We're going to discover it here. In my name, they will drive out demons. Demons is another thing that people are afraid to talk about. I am not afraid of demons because I know who I serve. I just said, greater is he who is within me than he who is in the world. So if I pop up against a demon, all I say is, in Jesus' name, leave me alone, and he's gone. As a matter of fact, I had these visions and things, and I actually started to have what I felt like demonic attacks. And at first, when it happened, I went back to this pastor. I said, wait. I didn't sign up for this. What is going on? And he just led me to the world. Just use the name. Just use the name. Anytime you feel that, just use the name. And it works. So now I'm like, oh, hi, devil. go. Because I'm not afraid because of the word. But in my name, I just went back to Sweden a couple of weeks ago. My mother's a bit elderly and needs some medical attention and has some health issues. So my sisters and I are kind of making plans for her care. And one of the things that we're needing or probably needing to do is have my sister get power of attorney so she can handle her affairs. When you have power of attorney, she can go sign off on things or sign checks as though my mother is there. It is the same as though my mother is there. And the same is true right here. Jesus said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in my name, you, as a believer, can drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. In my name, you can drive out cancer. In my name, you can drive out diabetes. In my name, you can drive out depression. In my name, you can drive it out. You can call on the name. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. You're going to be faced with some things in life that the world tells you is going to kill you. But with the Lord on our side, we can come out of things that the world says shoulda, coulda, and woulda killed you. But because the Lord says different, you can have life. You know, my husband got sick not too long ago. A few years ago, and he was really sick. He's about 6'6", about 200 pounds right now. And at the time, he was about 140-something pounds. Really sick, and the doctors basically told us, there's nothing we can do for you. And I had this moment where I was driving home, right here in Oklahoma City, actually, driving home from work, and it was fairly recent that we had kind of gotten the last report that was, you know, we can't do anything for you. And I'm crying and sad, and we're going all through all this stuff, and I just asked the Lord, am I going to be a widow? Our daughter was about 6 or 7 months at the time. And you know what? He didn't respond like, oh, no, it's okay. You're going to be fine. This, all he said was, you remember the dream I gave you? And that dream I'd had about a year, year and a half earlier or so. And in that dream, Philip and I were probably in our 50s, and we had 3 kids. And so all he did was take me back to what he said and ask me to stand on that. The rest was up to me to walk out and he to support. You know, a lot of times we look for God to just snap his fingers and do something. But really, he has given us the tools right here. He reminded me of that. We have to choose to stand on the word. And that's something I talk to myself all the time. My daughter is that, Mommy, what are you doing? Oh, you praying? You can call it a prayer, but really, I'm encouraging myself. I got this. I can do, as a matter of fact, the only scripture I knew for months and months and months was, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And that got me through going to class. It got me through studying to exams. It got me through strength and conditioning. It got me through soccer games. It got me through feeling sad in the middle of the night, having nobody to call. It got me through a whole bunch, one verse. But I had to quote it to myself. And it's kind of like when you're in that moment and you're not feeling good, that depression is coming over you, or you feel the sickness in your body and it's hard. I can do all things through Christ. I don't feel any different. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I still feel the pain. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But then all of a sudden is I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you begin to walk and believe what you're saying and what you're talking. You know, the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. It also doesn't say that faith comes by having heard. No, it says by hearing. I may be up here preaching and I know a whole bunch of scriptures, but I still got to feed myself daily so that I'm able to face those things that are going to come up against me. Because you know that they're just as real as the Spirit of God is, so is the enemy. And he comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And because the church doesn't rise up and recognize the power and authority of what that Jesus has given us, he takes ground. But no, you got to stand up. You got to stand up. And how do you stand up to the enemy? With the word of God. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Philip was ill, so this is just really a couple of months after I was driving home and kind of having that moment. And his fever peaked. And I mean, I was physically fatigued, mentally, all of the above, emotionally drained, just kind of dealing with the sickness and the financial issues that came along with it. And his fever peaked. I mean, it was so high. I'm thinking, this is it. And we have a 6-7-month-old. And I said, well, I guess I got to pray. I really didn't know what to do. Wasn't feeling particularly confident at the time. But this scripture rose up inside of me, along with a couple of others. They will place their hands. They, the believers, will place their hands on sick people, and they, the sick people, will get well. And I've read this. They will get well. They will. Not they might. Not they could. But they will. And the only thing required is a believer laying hands. So I said, Lord, I'm a believer. And I'm laying my hands. And I shifted from just asking him, Lord, could you please heal him, to declaring the word of God over my husband. And I laid my hands on him and I said, you said in your word that if I lay hands as a believer, the sick will get well. And then I read in Isaiah chapter 53. It's a prophecy of Jesus coming. And it describes there how he bore our sickness, and he, by his stripes, we were healed. Not we will be, we were. That means I was healed over 2,000 years ago. And that goes for physical sickness, it goes for heartaches, it goes for mental illness 2,000 years ago, but I had to stand on that. So I place my hands now on my husband in confidence, not because of who I was, but because of who God is and what he has already done. And do you know what? That fever left within minutes. Within minutes. And that is real. That is not something, I don't have the power, but all authority in heaven has been given to Jesus, and in his name. In his name. The believers can lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You don't be afraid of that. You know, sometimes it's happened to me. I lay hands on someone and pray, and they get healed instantly. Sometimes they go. It's biblical. Look at the 10 lepers. They were healed as they went. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's not. But what has he asked us to do? He didn't say, lay hands and then wonder if they're going to get well. He just said, lay hands on the sick, and they'll get well. Verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. I played soccer and I was an All-American, pretty decent player in college, right? So I started and played most of the minutes of most games. But when we went up by like 3 or 4 goals, my coach would take me off. And you know why he took me off? Because it was done. I was no longer needed. You know what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. It's done. You don't have to ask him, would you, could you? Just quote his word to him. You said you'd do it. You said you already had. Thank you for it. And that's another thing. You know, when we came out of that and he got healed from that fever, both of us, we shifted from asking God to heal him to thanking him that he had already had. And when you walk around with an attitude of gratitude, it changes your outlook on things as well. So we began to thank him. And you guys don't get to see him today, but Philip is as healthy as can be, serving God, singing unto the Lord right now, actually at our service, preaching the gospel, and a great father and husband, because we stood on the word of God. The doctor brought one report, the word of God brought another. Which one will you believe? Lots of people are going to bring reports to you. Verse 20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. There are the signs again. They will accompany you as you go. But it's important here, then the disciples went. If you're saved, as I'm assuming many of you are that are here today, it was a decision you made. It is the Lord's will that all be saved, but all are not. Why? Because we haven't made a decision. But the same is true for going. After he saves us all, he wants us to go, but it's a decision you have to make. And my prayer when I came in here was really, I read about the Lord of the harvest. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send workers. Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. A whole nation that doesn't know him. A whole nation that doesn't know him. It's sometimes hard for us to imagine here, but it's a reality. It is a reality. But I really believe in divine appointments. It is not by happenstance that I'm standing before you. This is a house full of workers. This is a house that has an assignment in this city and in this state. And do you know what? That there's no time or space in the spirit. You can have an assignment to China and do it from right here. So my prayer today, I want to just speak over this house and pray for you, because I believe I'm looking at workers. So Father, I just thank you right now that the people you have in here who have heard this message today, they're not here by happenstance, but it is your will for them to go, for you to use them. And it doesn't matter where they came from. What you're concerned about is where they're going. And Lord, I pray that you would deposit right now, Holy Spirit, assignments to them. That assignment can be next door. It can be at school, at work, the city, the nation, the world. One assignment is no bigger or smaller than the other. But Lord, deposit it right now when we're expecting to hear from you. For we need workers. The harvest is plentiful. There are millions out there, billions waiting to hear the gospel. We want to take it to them. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up. And may we walk in boldness as we proclaim your truth.